Christ is risen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, but God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. A perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruits. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia,
of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Early this morning, Father Raja reminded me of something. May 3rd, 114 years ago, something happened. The Great Fire of 1901 happened exactly 114 years ago to this day, May 3rd, 1901. When we human beings live through a catastrophe that is that big, we often remember our initial response. How many of you remember exactly where you were when the planes hit the Twin Towers on 9/11? My friend, who's a preacher, is from New York, but he was preaching in West Virginia, and he had turned on the television in his hotel room when the first plane hit. And when the second plane hit, he had this strange reaction in his head. He became completely obsessed with air traffic control, thinking that they must have gotten their coordinates completely messed up. He thought, what's wrong with air traffic control? They've completely lost their minds. He couldn't even conceive of the kind of horror and the kind of human being that could do something like that. So he just thought that traffic control had messed up. Sometimes when terrible things happen, we think that of God. Like this week when the earthquake hit Nepal. All those people dying in that devastation. And I think part of us says to God, hey, where's the traffic control here? Did you get your coordinates mixed up? God, how could you let this happen? Is it your will? How can you be God and let us suffer so much? In the very beginning of the Bible, it's very clear that God's original plan for us was not for us to suffer. That God created us to live in harmony and peace, never to die or be hungry, but that it was something that we did that caused us to fall. It was something that we did that allowed evil into the world. And now we live in a world where suffering is unavoidable. And you're going to feel pain, and I'm going to feel pain. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know that it's true. In fact, every day we hurt a little, don't we? I got to fly up and see my son in boarding school on Friday and Saturday, and just leaving him, even though he's doing great, just saying goodbye, I felt like my heart was going to rip. We all feel pain to a greater or lesser degree. It's unavoidable. And the truth is, we will never fully understand why and how God allowed us to experience free will. But I do know this, that God's original plan was not for us to suffer as we do. In the Old Testament, whenever something went wrong, people thought that God was punishing, that God would rain down punishments upon us. Like when David took a woman who wasn't his wife, and then they had a child and that child died. David understood that God had done that, that God had killed that child as a punishment. But in the New Testament, Jesus reveals a different understanding of God. And in the epistle that we hear from John, it says that God is love and that God does not punish. It is only fear that understands punishment. No, God loves you and God does not punish you. And to know God is to know what love is. And Jesus, in today's gospel, gives us the best image that I have ever understood about how we're to respond to suffering. Jesus often used images from nature because he knew that the people who were listening to him were farmers and fishermen, and they understood about trees and about plants. And so Jesus talks about pruning. I have a rose bush in my front yard. I know because my mother-in-law's taught me that in the beginning of the spring, I need to take some big shears and I need to cut back the branches of the rose bush. But every year when I do this, it feels bad. I'm cutting off these beautiful branches with these blooms, and they deserve to be around. What's wrong with them anyway? But I know from experience that by pruning the branches, it causes the bush to grow with a fullness and to produce more blooms. It strengthens the bush. Jesus says that he is a vine and we are the branches, and God is the vine grower. And what we need to do is to focus on living within that vine, being rooted in Christ. And then when something bad happens to us and we're cut off or we're hurt, Instead of letting us, that disassociate us from Christ, it can be like a pruning. You know, when a branch is pruned, it is closer to the stem, not farther away. When a branch is pruned, it grows stronger. So it's really up to us to decide, isn't it? Do we understand the Old Testament concept of punishment from God when we suffer? Or can we begin to conceive of the pruning? That even the hardest things that we go through, if we rely on Christ, can strengthen our faith, can help us to grow closer to God. Even as our bodies may be struggling or withering, our faith will bloom. Last week, I went to the great state of Wyoming to speak to some Episcopal Church women. These women have so little. The woman who organized the event is a cleaning lady and a priest. She makes her living by cleaning homes, and then in her spare time, she goes to the hospitals and she goes to the bars. You see, the suicide rate in Wyoming is the highest in all of the states of this country. She goes into the bars to try to teach people about the love of God. Just a few months ago, she said, I baptized a man who was a terrible alcoholic. Just a few weeks after I baptized him, he was walking home drunk in the snow and cold, and he fell on his face and froze to death. She said, I keep all my cleaning supplies in the back of my little car. I clean houses and I clean souls, she said. This woman had nothing. You know, the average attendance at her church in Wyoming is 7 people. 7. They meet in a little log cabin-like church. And yet, she was so strong and so thirsty to be taught. She listened to every word that I had to say and chewed on it and wrestled with it. These women had been pruned back to very little, and yet they had such faith and such strength. I knew a man once who had grown up as a foster child because his mother was addicted to drugs and she had died early on in his childhood. You would think that a boy who had no parents would grow up angry, frustrated, violent. But this man, when he was young, had decided that his experience of having no parents was going to make him stronger, and that he was going to grow up to be the father that he had never had. He pushed himself through school. He became successful in business, and when he finally had a son, I never knew a better father. He worried so much, wanting to provide everything for his child because he had had nothing. I really can't tell you what's going on up there in air traffic control, because I don't understand God, and I think our brains are just too small. But I know that Jesus has given us a gift of this image of the pruning. That when you suffer, not if, but when, you can think about it in that way. Let it help you pray more, not less. Let it help you live in Christ. Jesus says, abide in me as the branch abides in the vine. Live in me. Let me be your air. The water that you swim in, let me be in front of you and behind you and around you. Let me strengthen you. Let me fortify you. Jesus himself went through the worst suffering and he came out stronger. There is nothing that you cannot endure without Christ. You can make it through anything as long as you stay rooted in the vine. So the choice is yours. What's it going to be when something happens in your life? Will it be a punishment or will it be a pruning? Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. I invite you to speak their names aloud.
Donna.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those who need our prayers.
Isabella.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially those in Baltimore, as well as for Christians who are being persecuted around the world, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. We also pray for the earthquake victims of Nepal. Risen Christ,
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, help us to abide in you and in your love, that all that we must endure in this life may make us closer to you. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you are new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so we can find you and keep it up until your gift comes. We're glad you're here today. Welcome, welcome. So glad. We also have a special visitor today. Jose Angel is the dean of the cathedral in Havana, Cuba, and his sons are here too. Guys, stand up. We're so glad you're here. The cathedral in Cuba is our companion church, and so we're so blessed to have Father Jose here with us. And he's getting treatment on his vocal cords at Mayo Clinic, and that's a miracle in and of itself that they're able to help you. So glad. Don't forget to wear your name tags on Sundays and keep them with you. We'd love to know be able to say our names to each other. They are hanging out in the hallway on pegs, and there are some in the cloister right out here. If you don't have one, just write your name down, and we'll make sure that we get one to you. Tonight at 5 o'clock is a beautiful sung evensong that the choir does, the St. George's Day Evensong, and I hope you all can come. It's just spectacular this evening. Are you continuing to feast? We're still in the Great 50. I'm still going to Starbucks. Are you guys still eating and feasting? I hope so. Don't forget, we're still celebrating. The season of Easter actually ends at the Pentecost, and the bishop will be here to confirm and receive and reaffirm new Episcopalians. So if you're interested in that, please make sure you call the church office. Also, on Pentecost, we love to read from the book of Acts in many, many languages. So if you speak or at least can read another language, call the church office, and we'll get you a copy of that scripture in the language that you can read. And I love it. We surround the sanctuary reading in foreign languages. The youth are having a low country boil and silent auction at Father Raja's house on Saturday, May 16th at 5:30. Tickets are $25, and funds are being raised for their pilgrimage trip. You can purchase tickets after any of the services today. And on Sunday, May 17th at 5, the cathedral will be hosting a First Coast Altrea. That's a reunion for people that have done Curcio. And all the Curcio people are invited to attend and bring a covered dish to share. Remember to be generous with your church, as our Lord has been so generous with us.
Thank you.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.